2022. It is 10:01. We do have a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. If you can all join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As a reminder, we haven't seen as many folks in the courtroom. If you could silence your cell phones or personal devices, please. Moving right along to item number three, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the agenda for July 19th, 2022. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the agenda for today?
I have no questions or comments. Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
All right. County Manager Osborne, are there any changes to today's agenda?
Just one, Mr. Chairman. We'd like to move item number 25 to item 11. This is the Interstate 80 safety item.
All right. With that said, is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? As a reminder for folks on Zoom, you can use the raise your hand feature. If you call in, you can use star 6 to unmute yourself. And for those that are in attendance today, come up to the podium and state your name.
Austin, before 11 or after?
There would be number 11. It would be immediately after number 10.
Gotcha.
All right, not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda with the one noted change in the order of business, moving item number 25 after number 10.
Second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number 4, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes for July 5th, 2022. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the minutes?
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments about the minutes?
Yeah, I just have two minor clerical corrections to make. Under item 21, there was a misspelling on Mike Northen's last name, so hoping to get that corrected. And then item 23 was listed as item 21 again, and so if we get that corrected, I think we should be all set. Thank you.
All right. I do have one other correction to the minutes. In public comment, Mr. Toll's comment should read that he was praising, not president. So if that could be noted down. All right. With those noted changes, is there any public comment regarding the minutes for July 5th, 2022? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from our July 5th, 2022 meeting with the noted changes.
Second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number 5 is today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding today's consent agenda?
No questions, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell.
You know, I had a question on a claim, but actually I think it's something maybe we can discuss when we get to the quarterly update, because it has to do with a budget amount. So I'll hold that comment till.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number 6 is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. This comment should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda. These comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment today? Please come up to the podium. State your name for the record.
My name is Travis Stransky. I'm the Noble Grand Humbug of the local chapter of Eclampus Vitus here with Julia C. Bulette. And I know the big discussion is whether, you know, Clampers are a, you know, drinking historical society or a history drinking society. Well, we don't know. We, by observing history, what we do every year is we put up an annual plaque. And throughout the decades, sometimes places either get knocked down, people change owners, and we lose our plaques. And this year, thanks to Austin Osborne here, he had found one of our plaques for the American City here in this courthouse. So thank you, Austin. And I also wanted to thank you guys on behalf of the whole entire chapter for the grant that you guys had given us in order to make sure that that plaque, along with another one, was able to get back where it needed to be. So thank you guys very much on behalf of the Julius C. Bulette chapter here in Virginia City. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for taking your time.
Awesome. Hey, thank you guys.
Welcome. Is there any other public comment today? Not seeing any other public comment, we're going to move on to item number 7, which is discussion only. No public comment, no action will be taken. These are our committee and staff reports, and we're going to start off with the Sheriff's Office. Do you see him on there?
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Tony Dozen, for the record, Sheriff's Office. Nothing to report at this time.
All right. Thank you, Chief Deputy. Moving right along to the Fire Department, Chief Loncar.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Loncar, for the record. A couple of things I want to bring for some updates is we presently have one Tech 3 engine down in Southern California working on some wildland fires, as well as two firefighters that are on a helicopter in Texas. We anticipate those resources probably come back within the next week or so. But as fires are starting to break out all over, we are getting more requests, so we're always very cognizant of what we send out to ensure that we're covering home base first and keeping enough resources here. So we'll keep an eye on that, make sure we send out what's appropriate. The next thing I kind of want to hit on just a little bit is our ambulance subscription program. We're at that time of year where we're going through a big bulk of renewals with all of our community members. And I want to just kind of not just sell the program, but give a little history behind it just a bit too, is that this program, although it's voluntary, it's something we just offer to our community because we know it can save them thousands of dollars. In a rate increase we did last year, we went from $40 to $75 per person. And where it used to tack on additional rates per person, we just set a flat rate of $125 that helped match our partners, people that we share this program with. Even though this is ours, we do share the program with others. So we do honor the ones out of Lyon County, Carson City, for both North and Central Lyon County. So keeping the rates amongst the same, and obviously increasing because of just cost of business is going up. Those are things that we had to do, so we're getting a lot of calls about the rate increase, and yes, that did go into effect a year ago, and there's many reasons for that. But one of the biggest reasons is this program is also monitored by Medicare, which Medicare, if some of you have seen of our budget items, we have that, it's called GEMT Transport, and we receive quite a bit of money from them to help us subsidize our ambulance program. These are all things that are governed by Medicare, so it's really important we stay in line with their requirements. That was another reason for some of the rate increase that we experienced last year. We don't want to jeopardize that type of money. Getting that that additional money for our medical services in the county is very important for us. But again, it's open now. If anyone comes in and subscribes, you can get it either individual or cover your whole family. It's either $75 or $125 for the full year, and it runs a year from the time you sign up till the next year. And you will never get a bill from Story County Ambulance. So provided it's an emergency, it's a true emergency, we transport you, that's all you pay. So this could save people up to thousands of dollars based off that transport. And I'm out here, if anyone has any questions, again, I encourage everyone to look into the program. It's important we keep up the numbers so we can keep this program going. Other than that, I'll take any questions the commission may have.
Thank you, Chief. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions for Chief?
I don't have questions, but congratulations on a strong little county as Story County is, and we're sending folks all over the West to help fight fires, and that's pretty admirable. Thank you for that.
You know, it is. If I could just have another moment, it was kind of, but you know, before I came here, I'd always rolled around in red ambulances and red engines, and you know, fire service red. And it's Story County's always had a history for what they do for our wildland community and sending resources out. My last fire in the city of West Wendover, I had a Story County person there with me. And you always remember seeing that blue show up on the fire, and it's they're professionals, they do a great job, and hence why we're requested a lot.
Something for us to be very proud of. Yeah, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any questions or comments for the Chief?
I don't have any questions. I just wanted to thank the Chief for reviewing the details on that ambulance program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. No questions for myself. Appreciate the update. Up next, we got Public Works. Jason Wersbicki.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Wersbicki for the record. I just have a couple quick things. Just want to comment on an item later on in the agenda over the horse signs. We finally got some traction again with assistance from Austin with NDOT to try to move forward on getting these flashing horse signs on 341 5 mile flat. Going back through my old emails, first communication actually started back on October of 2019 with NDOT, and unfortunately this will be the third time we've had to submit the same exact information to them that we're in the process of doing, you know, here shortly in the next couple days. Next thing, we started working on the 2023 road rehab planning that involves Electric Avenue out at Tri Center. We're currently shouldering 6 mile. Little interesting bit of information. We did a new water and sewer service connection on Carson Street for North Howard, where Collins is building right now. We ran into 5 old abandoned water lines of various sizes between 8 and 16 inches before we finally found our active line. So. And just another quick thing, too, is we're looking at a couple different swing set ideas lower to the ground for the Highlands Park. You guys have any questions?
Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions for Jason?
No questions. Thank you, Jason.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. As far as I go, regarding the horse signs, well, we should be pros at this go around. So
it's crazy.
3 years probably be a record for NDOT, but hopefully you get it done.
Yeah, 3 years, they're down, I think, statewide a little over 1,100 people.
Yeah.
And this will be like our, I don't know, 8 to 10 different employee working on this at NDOT.
Yeah. Well, government, what can you say?
Yeah.
With that said, the park, I know there's going to be a lot of happy folks, so I'm glad to see we're moving forward on that.
Yeah, just materials are kind of hard to find right now, you know, as with everything else. So it'll be a little bit of time, but we have it in the works right now.
Totally get it. Much appreciated. Thank you for your work, and thanks for the update.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to Projects Coordinator, Mike Northan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northan, N-O-R-T-H-A-N, Project Coordinator. I want to thank Mr. Vice Chairman, for the correction to the minutes there. Four items for the board today. Number one, the courthouse pavers. The metal staples are going to be installed tomorrow. This will complete this project, and the fence will be removed this week. There is some touch-up to the polymeric sand in some areas of the stone joints, and Public Works will be placing asphalt cold patch along the front and by the water valve there. So that'll be all cleaned up by next week. Number two, the Lockwood substation. We're currently working with the Sheriff's Office, as well as planning, buildings and grounds, and the DA's office to develop some plans for that facility. There are some, of course, cost and time considerations here that we're looking at very closely, so we hope to have some estimates and options for the board to consider here soon. Item three, VC Highlands Community Center Phase 1 Fire Apparatus Storage Building. Those plans are still out for the rebid. I have directly notified multiple contractors. We do have a couple of responses so far. So we hope to generate some interest in that project, as well as some time and cost savings there. Bid opening is going to be August 2nd, so we'll have results in a staff report for the following board meeting after that bid opening. Last item is the Lockwood Tower Road retaining wall repair project is fully complete. Project was completed on time and without change orders. We'd like to thank MKD Construction for their good work on that project. And with that, I'll take any questions, sirs.
Thank you, Mike. If that is even you. No beard. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike?
I do not. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Mike?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions for you, Mike, but keep up the great work. Much appreciated.
Thank you, sir.
Moving right along to communications, Becky Parsons. Becky on board? Okay. Let's move on to emergency management slash whatever else. Laura Mather?
Good morning, Laura Mather for the record. Starting with emergency management, Desert Research Institute is installing the second of three wildland fire smoke sensors here in Storey County. They are doing it, finishing it up this afternoon. It's going to be at the fire station in the Highlands. This is a sort of a research process. This is brand new equipment and brand new technology that they're working on and installing. So they are getting out a few bugs. So for instance, the sensor that they installed at the Divide Reservoir, they have a couple bugs on that and they are getting those straightened out. Once those are all fixed, then we will have access to all of this data. So they should be sending me a link to this data, and we will share that publicly as well, as far as you know, anybody in our community that has breathing issues or health issues affected by wildland fire smoke, this will kind of help them plan out their day. Business development. So I have quite a lengthy report for business development. Because this is a new position, I wanted to go over sort of how I have tackled this position and what I'm doing to create a knowledge base and a networking base to help me make this a very useful resource for all businesses in the community of Storey County. So we're working on creating an office for me out in the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center County Complex. I want to thank Jason, Jeff, and Mike from Public Works, Pete, Joe, and Ashley from Community Development, James and his entire IT team, Kathy and Lindy in planning. Everybody has been just fabulous, and it's one of the reasons why I really like working for Storey County and with Storey County. And County Manager Osborne as well. Everybody's just been great. I go in with lots of questions. Everybody's willing to answer them all for me just when I show up randomly in their office. And Public Works and Community Development and IT have been really great with us figuring out the best place to have an office down there in TRI where I can spend a lot of time down there, have people meet with me. So we're working on that. So thank you to everybody who's helped me through that process. I had a great, extremely informative tour of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center with Chris Thompson and Donnie Gelman. They have a wealth of information on that whole area. So, again, I'm really wanting to develop my knowledge of the area. I met with Far West Engineering. They gave me a presentation on the water system out there. It was very informative and really fascinating on this amazing state-of-the-art water system that is here in Storey County. It was very educational. I have a tour scheduled with UNR Small Business Development Center so that they have an understanding of the Tahoeruno Industrial Center. We worked very closely with them with regard to the businesses in Virginia City when they helped us with the small business funding that we granted out during the COVID pandemic. So they have a good understanding of the businesses here in Virginia City. We want them to have a good understanding of the opportunities for small businesses out in TRI. So I have a tour scheduled with them. I reached out to the director of Western Nevada's College's Applied Technology Program. I plan on meeting with them to find out what kind of relationship does that program have with the businesses in TRI. So if they do have a program, I want to know all about that. If they don't, how can I help them develop that program for students that are going through that Applied Technology Program? I have meetings scheduled with elected and appointed officials from the surrounding counties and cities. Again, I want to develop that working relationship with them. What happens in any of the areas in Northern Nevada, as we all know, affects all of us, so I want to develop those relationships. I've started scheduling introductions and tours with the Tahoeruno Industrial Center companies. I want to get to know the person that is in that company that I can help with any questions, comments, concerns, issues, suggestions that they might have. And interestingly, the relationships that I have developed with their emergency management and safety team are helping with this. So I reach out to my emergency management contacts. They then put me in contact with the person that I will be working with in my new capacity. So that's been a great resource, those relationships that I have developed. I met with the executive director and the business development director of Northern Nevada Development Authority. As you know, I am now on their board. Thank you. So we did an introduction, and we started just working through how we will work together and how that relationship will develop. Amy, who's the business development director there at NNEDA, she came up with a great idea. So she's going to create a quarterly meeting for myself and the business development officers for Douglas Lyon and Storey Counties. Douglas Lyon and Carson, so that we can meet on a quarterly basis and, you know, discuss all that is economic development and business development for our region. So it's interesting that I'm moving from Quad County in emergency management to Quad County in community and business development. The word is already getting out that this position exists and that I exist in this position. So I've already been in contact with several companies that are either looking to or already have made the decision to move to the Tahoeruno Industrial Center. I'm able to help them with statistics on what employees are paid in Northern Nevada, the positions types, what the salary ranges are, the benefits, those kind of things. And I'm also able to hook them up with resources. So how do you move your manufacturing company from one state? You need somebody to come in to uninstall that manufacturing equipment, move it to the Tahoeruno Industrial Center, and reinstall it for you. So I've been able to connect companies with those types of resources. So with that, I'm getting a good understanding of what companies and businesses are looking for when they come into Storey County, and I'm developing a resource list so that I can assist them with any questions that they might have. I also want to start working on the branding of the Tahoeruno Industrial Center in Storey County. So a really good example of that, there was an October 2021 article. It was titled Top Cities Where U.S. Manufacturing is Thriving. So that was segmented. They had small communities, medium communities, and large communities. Small communities were under 150,000 population. Mid-size were between 150 and 500,000 population. Large was 500,000 and over. So they talked, the article was pretty lengthy. They talked extensively about Reno. Storey County was not mentioned once as a small community. All of the businesses that they mentioned that were located in Reno were actually located in Storey County. So I would like to really create a branding so that everybody knows that the businesses that are in Story County are actually in Story County. Another part of the whole branding or resources for Story County is to start to address some of the rumors or misconceptions, I think is a better way to talk about it. So one of the misconceptions that I heard recently was the retention pond that is out in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. This person that I was talking to was under the impression that that was created solely to water the wild horses. All you got to do is drive by it, and you can see that it's fenced. So they were very concerned because they felt that that retention pond was for them, and that would then draw the horses into an area that is heavily populated where there was a lot of traffic, and that would cause accidents. So I talked about sort of what it actually is for and how that works and the area's responsibilities and relationships when it comes to the horses. Another misconception that is out in Tierra, and I realize most of you know this, but is residences. So one of the misconceptions is that we are not allowing residents out in TRI, which is correct, but then there was a rumor that the travel trailer park out there was actually a permanent residence area for people to live in who are working there. So we talked about how there is a 28-day maximum stay, how we are working to have that sort of that 28-day limit so people can come in, particularly those with specialties. So they come in, they have a specialty, they are helping a business, whether it's a business that's up and running or that are being built, they can stay there. There's opportunities there at the travel park. There's also opportunities in the existing hotel and then the new hotel that it's building as well. So I think it's important that as we develop the county, we make sure that how we are working to benefit the area is clear. It's clear on what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how it does benefit the area. So I'm not just focused on the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. I am focused on business and community development in Story County as a whole. So I met with Linda Ritter, who's our acting VCTC director, and she is working on a whole marketing campaign for businesses to come into Virginia City for company retreats and conferences. So we're going to work together on how do we get that word out to the businesses in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, but around Northern Nevada as well. I mean, what a great place to come for your company retreat. You can come up to Story County, to the Virginia City Gold Hill area. We have, you know, great places to stay, obviously. We have our new depot, great place to have a conference. So we want to share that information with businesses existing and that are moving into Story County. I started attending the Nevada Main Street program. Honey Menifee, our community relations coordinator, has been very active in that program, getting to know what it is that they do and how it can help the Main Street of Virginia City. So I have started to participate in that as well. I think it is an amazing opportunity for our Comstock Historic District to be involved in that program. So we are working on that. The Nevada Division of Tourism has created a destination development program. I know very little about it. They haven't actually launched it yet. They're going to launch it at the end of August. I do know that it is a program that if a community is involved in this program, goes through it, then that makes the community that goes through the program eligible for funding to help create a destination, a whole destination program. There's money available that will help with that. Being part of this program, again, depending on what all the conditions and items are for that, I think it's going to be another great opportunity for the Comstock Historic District area of Story County. So again, I'm looking at this as a holistic position to help the county overall, not just one specific area. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you for that, Laura. Mr. Zillman, do you have any questions for Laura about it?
I don't have any questions. I'm just so delighted with where you're going, Laura. There's an old term called hit the ground running, and you're winning the race. There's a lot on your plate all of a sudden. It's just fantastic. I'm so looking forward to the coming weeks, months, and years under your direction. You're doing a great job, and thank you for all so far. And I know that it's quite a learning curve, so you're involved in a lot of things.
Thank you. And if I can just add one other thing. So, yes, I have to admit I'm having a ball with this. But I am still handling the emergency management section, you know, part of my duties as well. And so I'm just kind of splitting my time. So be patient with me. I think once we have that position filled, I'll be able to really focus more time on that.
Your plate is full.
It's okay. I'm up to the challenge. I'm up to the challenge.
Awesome. Thanks again. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything for Laura?
I don't have any questions. Just thanks for all the good work.
Thank you.
I will echo those sentiments. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Community Relations, Honey Menifee.
Good morning, Honey Menifee, for the record. I just wanted to remind everyone about the community project grant that's opened again for this year. There is $10,000 available for each area that's been designated through the community. The areas are, the first area is Lockwood, Mustang, Painted Rock in the northeast. The second area is Lago Marcino in the Highlands. The third is Virginia City in Gold Hill. And the fourth is Mark Twain. So this grant opportunity is open through August 19th. And if anyone needs to help with filling out applications or questions on eligibility, all projects just need to benefit the entire community in which it's going to be located. Feel free to reach out to me. My phone number is 847-0986, or they could email me, hmenifee@storycounty.com. And I will really look forward to helping communities decide if they have eligible projects and to get some things going that might have been overlooked that they've been hoping to work on but just didn't have the funds for. So August 19th is the deadline, and I am free to speak with anyone regarding this. So, that's it.
Thank you, Honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Honey?
I have no questions. Thank you, Honey.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thanks. Good to go.
All right. Thank you again, Honey. Moving on to the VCTC, Linda Ritter. Is she with us today? No? All right. Let's move over to the Comptroller's Office. Comptroller McCain.
Nothing right now. Thank you.
Okay. How about the assessor's office, Janice Seddon? All right. How about the planning department, Kathy Canfield?
Nothing, except what's on the agenda later.
Okay.
Linda is on.
Linda? All right. Let's go back to Linda Ritter.
Good morning.
Morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, your phone's ringing.
Yeah, I know. I just shut it off. I apologize for that. Hey, just a couple of updates. We've got Hog August Nights coming the 29th and 30th of this month. That's a Friday and Saturday. They're bringing 400 classic cars to Virginia City and a lot of people to come and take a look at them. There will be a street closure on C Street from Sutton to Flowery. And we're going to have one lane open on Friday from Flowery to Taylor for residential traffic to get to the sheriff's office as well as the post office. And we'll get some information out to residents. And I'm also going to get something out to all the merchants about that. We will have no parking on C Street starting the morning of the 29th. We will be out on Thursday night posting some signs up and trying to encourage nobody to show up there because that's where the classic cars are going to park. So we've got to have that area free. So it's going to be a good event. All of our events this year, we've seen higher anticipation than the prior couple of years, including 2019, which was the last really normal year. So we anticipate the same with this one as well. We're also planning for camel races, and for that one, we're also seeing a big response. Our ticket sales so far this year are 37% higher than they were in 2019. So we anticipate a lot of people here to see the camels. Always a popular event. And that's all I have for my report. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take those.
Thank you, Linda. Commissioner Gilman, you got anything for Linda?
I do not. Thank you, Linda.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Nor do I. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Linda. Look forward to seeing these cars up here in a couple weeks. Moving right along to the recorder's office, Marnie Hanson-Martinez.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Nothing to report today.
All right. Thanks, Marnie. How about the IT department, James Dean?
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. We are working a pilot project with Comptroller McCain doing requisitions in Tyler. It's going to streamline our purchasing process, and we've kind of been guinea pig because we have a lot of large purchases and are often doing budget requests and things like that. So working with that new program with Comptroller McCain. And with that said, with the IT supply shortages, we're going to be probably ordering a considerable amount of my budget early in the year, which generally we try and spread those projects out over time. But with lead times of 3, 6, even 9 months, we're going to be ordering a good portion of our computer servers and equipment early in the budget year. And that'll probably be reflected in my first quarter report. So I just wanted to prepare you guys for that, that we're going to be a little top heavy on the first quarter to try and get in the queue for IT supplies and services. And that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, James. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions for James?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Nor do I. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, James. Moving on to Human Resources, Gina Green.
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Okay. Community Development, Pete Renault.
Good morning, it's Ashley Mead for Pete today. They are out at the Sky Park doing the final walkthrough of the Fulcrum Biofuels plant. That has been a 5-year project for our office. The next thing is we have, our plan review is down to a 7-day window. Normally we have a 30-day window for that, and Tracy is really part of that down for our office. We've had 3 incidents of dry wells in the Highlands and Mark Twain area that were reported to us recently. And that's it.
All right, Ashley, thank you for that. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Ashley?
None, thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything for Ashley?
I don't have any questions, but that's excellent news about shortening up that plan review window.
Yep. Ashley, I do have one question for you regarding the wells. You said there were 2 wells in the Highlands and 1 in Mark Twain that went dry?
I believe when they called, it was 1 in the Highlands and 2 in Mark Twain. I believe it was McKay that called the Pete. We have 2, I believe, on Prospector, and I'm not sure of the address in the Highlands.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much for that update.
You're welcome.
Moving right along to the community chest. Do we have Eric with us today? No. How about Stacy, Senior Center?
Good morning. I have nothing to report today. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Stacy. Justice Court, Judge Harrington, she happens to be on there today. Okay. How about the DA's office?
Nothing to report today, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Trustee County Manager, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nothing at this time.
All right. And last but not least, our Clerk Treasurer, Dory Nevin. Anything? All right. Thank you to all staff for your reports, much appreciated. We are going to get back to our regularly scheduled agenda, which is putting us at item number 8, which is board comment. I'm going to start off to my left. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything today?
Nothing to add today. Thank you, sir.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have anything to report either. Thank you.
All right. I do have a bit of sad news today. Love him or hate him. One of the regular faces in our parades, believe he goes by Trump Barbie, has passed away. No other news than that, but he was definitely a figure in our parades up here. Like I said, love him or hate him, still a life lost, so we will no longer be graced with his presence during our parades. So that is all I have today. We're going to move on to item number 9. This discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of parcel map request 2022-21 by applicants John and Crystal, I'm going to say that wrong, Backcave, and Joel and Ann Marie Usum, request to merge three existing approximate 10-acre parcels, lots 497, 505, and 506 into one, then immediately re-subdivide them to create two approximate 15-acre parcels. The properties are located at 4970, 5050, and 5060 Dry Gulch Road, Highland Ranches Neighborhood, Astoria County, Nevada, Assessor's Parcel Number 003-412-02-10 and 11. Kathy.
All right, thank you. Kathy Canfield for the record. So this is a parcel map, a merger and resubdivision of three existing parcels. They're zoned estates in the 10-acre Highland Ranches subdivision. Each parcel is approximately 10 acres in size, and the middle parcel will be split so that there'll be remaining two parcels that'll be approximately 15 acres in size. One parcel is existing, developed with a single-family residence. The middle parcel and the other third parcel are vacant. Once the split is done, both parcels will still comply with all the zoning requirements that are there. Notices were sent out to adjacent property owners, and we didn't receive any comments. The Planning Commission heard their request at their July 7th meeting and voted unanimously to recommend approval of the map.
Anything else?
That's all I have, unless there's questions, and I believe the one of the property owners is also online.
All right.
Attending.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Kathy at this time?
I have no questions. Thank you, Kathy.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you. I'm good.
All right. I currently don't have any questions either. With that said, is there any public comment regarding this item? And if the owners are on and you'd like to speak, this would be your opportunity. Not seeing any public comment. Do we need to read anything, Kathy, or can we jump right to a motion?
I believe we can just do to the your motion, and I can read the findings of fact.
Okay.
For a motion of approval, if you'd like.
All right, please.
Okay. This approval is for a parcel map to merge three existing approximate 10-acre parcels, lots 497, 505, and 506, into one, then immediately resubdivide them to create two approximate 15-acre parcels. The properties are located at 4970, 5050, and 5060 Dry Gulch Road, Highland Ranches neighborhood of Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number 003-412-02-10 and 11. The parcel map complies with NRS 278.461 through 278.469 relating to parcel maps and Chapter 16.30 of the Story County Code, including the specific criteria outlined in Section 2.D of the staff report. The parcel map complies with all federal, state, and county regulations pertaining to parcel maps. The parcel map will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding vicinity. The parcel map will not cause the public to be materially injured, and the condition of approval for the requested parcel map do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code, Chapter 17.40E Estate Zone, or any other feature. Federal, state, or county regulations.
Thank you, Kathy. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah. In accordance with the recommendation by the Planning Commission and staff, the findings under Section 3A of the staff report, and in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby waive the requirement for a tentative map and move to approve a parcel map to merge three existing approximate 10-acre parcels, lots 497, 505, and 506 into one, then immediately re-subdivide them to create two approximately 15-acre parcels. The properties are located at 4970, 5050, and 5060 Dry Gulch Road, Highland Ranches neighborhood of Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel numbers 003-412-02-10 and -11.
I second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy. Moving right along to item number 10, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of a special use permit 2022-20, request by applicant Brimstone Energy, Inc. to construct a cement research and manufacturing plant at 105 Silicon Drive, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number APN 005-021-16. Kathy?
Yes, thank you again. Kathy Canfield for the record. So this is a special use request for a cement research and manufacturing plant that's located in the Tri-Center and is zoned I-2 heavy industrial. The property itself is approximately 5 acres in size and is accessed from either Wild Horse Canyon Drive or from Megabyte Drive. The project will consist of an approximately 10,000 square foot research laboratory office building, and then another covered 50,000 square foot plant pad that's for the manufacturing operations. No outside storage or outside manufacturing operations are proposed. We did send out notices to the adjacent property owners. We didn't receive any written comments. We did at our planning commission that heard this on July 7th, we did have an adjacent property owner show up. They had some questions about the project concerning runoff from the site, the traffic to the site, and what was the third thing? Oh, the air emissions. They had questions about that. So the applicant was able to answer a lot of those questions, and we didn't hear back from them after that meeting. And I'm not sure if they're, I don't believe they're here today. After the discussion occurred, the Planning Commission recommended unanimously approval of the project. So the applicants are here today. If you have any specific questions, or I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the applicant or for Kathy?
I do not. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions?
You know, my only question was, you know, it's a bit unusual for us to have cement research. And I was just curious if the applicant wanted to expand a little bit on the types of research that would be part of this facility. Not a must, but I'm just curious.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Yeah. For the record, I'm Hugo Liandri, co-founder of Brimstone. Good morning, commissioners and member of the staff. We greatly appreciate the opportunity to come before this body today and present our special use permit application and answer any questions you may have. So our environmental permits for the entire project are being handled by McGinley and Associates. We'll use Reno Engineering for the site drawing. And we specifically chose both of this firm due to their respective expertise with Tahoe Reno Industrial Center and the Reno area, as well as Story County. My commercial real estate broker, Chris Mann, is here, as well as a representative from Allen Hart, our attorney, Evan Tempa. And I want to give you a little more history on Brimstone. So we co-founded this company around 3 years ago with the mission to eliminate all CO2 emissions from cement production. So cement is one of the biggest polluters in the world today. It pollutes more than India, and it's around a $1 trillion market. We are the first company, I mean, the only company that we're aware of that has a solution that can fully decarbonize cement as well as be cheaper. In order for being cheaper, we'll need to see after we build this pilot plants our research and manufacturing facility. I don't have a crystal ball, so far it's just modeling data that tell me that, but once we've actually built something and makes product, we'll be able to have a better idea. And we are so currently based out of Oakland and would love to make Story County a home. We've had conversations with a lot of companies here, especially executives at Redwood Materials, and they've searched counties all across the states that allow, you know, the development of such technologies, and they said hands down Story County was the place to be in order to do that, and which is, I did also my own research after, and I've been very pleased with what I found, and I'm very excited to potentially be working with you guys here. The stage of our company today is we are still early, but we've received large amounts of money so far. We raised $55 million from Bill Gates and other venture fund in order to build this plant in Story County. And yeah, I think in closing, I'd like to say that we're on full agreement with the comparability and compliance items noted in Section 2 of the staff report, and we'll comply with all conditions noted in Section 4. And I'm happy to answer any of your questions that you may have.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any other questions?
I don't. Thank you very much for that detail. I'm really, really excited that we have the potential to be home to some of this kind of technological development.
Same. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions myself. We'll go to public comment. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. I think you are free to go. Appreciate you being here, taking the time to be here.
Thank you.
Kathy, do we have findings on this?
Yes.
Am I reading those, please?
So for the findings of fact for a motion for approval, this approval is for special use permit 2022-20, a request by the applicant Brimstone Energy, Inc., to construct a cement research and manufacturing plant at 105 Silicon Drive, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, Assessor's Parcel Number APN 005-021-16. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the McCarran Planning Area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding for the special use permit is provided in Section 2.E of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of this special use permit. The subject property is located within an existing industrial neighborhood in the McCarran area of Story County. The zoning is based on the 1999 Story County Zoning Ordinance, which identifies the property as I-2 heavy industrial. The proposed cement manufacturing requires a special use permit. Granting of the special use permit with the conditions of approval listed in Section 4 of this report will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons, property in the neighborhood of the subject property. The project is expected to meet the safety and health requirements for the subject area. The use will also be subject to building and fire plan review in order to ensure compliance with federal, state, and other codes. The special use permit will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding area, and it will comply with all federal, state, and county regulations. The conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in the 1999 Story County Zoning Ordinance Section 17.37 I-2 Heavy Industrial and 17.62 Special Uses. Granting of the special use permit will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons working in the neighborhood or area of the subject property, and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property improvements in the neighborhood or the area of the subject property. And thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yes, sir. In accordance with the recommendation by the Planning Commission and staff, the findings of fact under Section 3A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve Special Use Permit 2022-20 in a request by the applicant Brimstone Energy, Inc. to construct a cement research and manufacturing plant at 105 Silicon Drive, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number APN 005-021-16.
I second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thanks again, Kathy. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. Good luck.
Thank you.
Moving right along to item number 25. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval per Commissioner Gilman's request of resolution number 22-657, authorizing the county manager to engage lobbyists to draft a bill for the 2023 legislative session regarding certain items related to traffic safety on Interstate 80 between Reno, Sparks, and Fernley. Austin?
I'll technically start this, Mr. Chairman, Austin Osborne, for the record, but really this is an item that was brought forth by Commissioner Gilman per his request. So I'll be happy to answer any questions, discuss what we're doing, working with NDOT and other matters, but okay. I'd like to ask that we pass the torch over to Mr. Gilman.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate the opportunity this morning. I'm seeking the support of my fellow commissioners here on this resolution, addressing the traffic safety and the impacts that are currently happening on our northern boundary. Story County shares the boundary with the I-80 corridor. I'm reminded that there's a philosophy that runs in business and personal life, and basically it says that if you're not getting the results that you're seeking, that perhaps you should change your approach. And so I can share with you that for over the last 10 years, our approach here from Story County is to repeatedly request the support of our federal representatives, our state representatives, our NDOT representatives. We've had many meetings here where NDOT has explained the priorities that they're looking at and how they're going to approach and address the I-80 corridor. Specifically, in that regard, we've been looking for help there at our Lockwood Interchange, which is absolutely and reasonably dangerous as a interchange. But there are other, in my opinion, far-reaching consequences by not addressing a safety corridor in I-80. And so I'm reminded that for so many years it's been discussed that if there were a major hazmat accident there on that highway, that there are no escape routes. Basically, traffic could be tied up for hours, days. And so the highway carries a burden, if you will, for safety for the entire northern region. So the concept here is that we will ask Story County to submit for a bill in the next legislative session. And that bill would specifically be focused on creating a safety corridor. It would appear at this point, and I can tell you that I've been to Washington, D.C. twice to meet with officials back there on how to widen the highway, how to get more lanes, how to improve the infrastructure along I-80. And typically we find that the finances are an issue, the money available to create more lanes, the challenge of grading and adding lanes along in the I-80 Canyon had been an issue. And the other delay, if you will, is a NEPA permit, whereby if a federal highway is going to be improved, you're going to have to go get the permits from all the environmental side. So those can take 6, 8, 10 years to acquire. So it would be my suggestion today that since no NEPA permit has been filed for, getting any relief on that I-80 corridor is certainly long-term in the future. And that being the case, it would appear that some common sense traffic safety elements could be added out there on the highway, and would dramatically increase the safety and the coordination, if you will, of the traffic that flows along that corridor. And basically, the corridor starts out in the Fernley area at Wadsworth and runs all the way into Vista I-80. And so I would suggest to you that the speed limits along there are 70 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour as you get closer to Reno. The highway carries a tremendous amount of transportation traffic, not just our residents moving back and forth to the various jobs along the corridor, but highway traffic, if you will, with the trucking and the busing and the large vehicle concept. So really, if you visualize, you have a corridor that's basically two lanes each way with a speed limit approximately 70 miles an hour. And I'd suggest that most traffic runs about 10 miles an hour over a posted speed limit. So you can see speeds of 80 miles an hour along the way. And you'll find a lot of large rigs of various kinds competing for the two lanes and literally passing each other. I'm reminded as I came to the commission meeting this morning, we drive that corridor every day. I have another rock chip on my windshield as of this morning. It's not unusual for those of us that travel that corridor regularly to replace two or more windows in our automobiles a day. So some of the things that you would find in this resolution that we're suggesting excuse me, are utilized in other communities. So it's not something unusual that we're suggesting, but all heavy traffic, three axles or more, could be restricted to the right-hand lanes at a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit from Wadsworth into, and that would keep all of the heavy traffic, if you will, under control in the right-hand side and free-flowing traffic, automobiles and lighter, in the left-hand lanes. The 55-mile-an-hour speed limit would certainly give a safety parameter, if you will, to the speeds that are being traveled. We're seeing out there a lack, and I believe it's a verifiable lack, of the policing, of the enforcement of traffic, even the regulations that are already in play. For example, in Nevada, you don't haul loads of rock or sand or unless they're covered. And yet you see very, very few covered loads running out there. So it's not unusual to see the wind blowing in the Ida Canyon and the sand blowing out all over other cars that are trying to pass the trucks with rock and or sand or et cetera. So a speed limit is an issue. Maintaining a single lane for the heavy rigs that are coming through would be important. And then a lot of frustration of the drivers. It almost seems when you're out there driving is that it's a video game for a lot of folks that are kamikaze drivers, if you will. And so they have a posted speed limit. They can run 70, 80 miles an hour. And oftentimes you see speeds exceeding that. And they're playing video games with the traffic that are on the highway. So you could have a mix of trucks trying to pass each other and buses running and trying to pass each other and the cars late for work or whatever running up right lanes, darting in between close proximity, and it's almost it has become and is today a very dangerous trafficking corridor, and we're seeing more and more in the way of wrecks. Oftentimes the traffic is tied up for hours because of the wrecks. We're seeing deaths on the highway. We have some substandard interchanges out there that we've seen death on regularly over the last year, two or three, and it's increasing. So it's our belief that by going to the legislature in 23 and asking them to identify this corridor as a safety corridor and implement some of the regulations and also address how we're going to fund. Right now, it's my understanding that the Nevada Highway Patrol does not have the budget nor the personnel to basically enforce the laws along that corridor. And so I would tell you that you rarely see traffic enforcement. We've met with the sheriff of Washoe County, and they have a ongoing drug enforcement that's out there working, but they will readily agree that that the traffic enforcement is not taking place. So by enforcing the traffic and by amending the rules of the road to make it a safe corridor to travel, we can save lives. We can make the merging of those substandard interchanges, we can make the merging much safer rather than our friends and family and residents trying to enter a highway with speeds of 70 and 80 miles an hour coming at them with 18-wheelers and larger. They can actually get on a 55-mile-an-hour track and have an opportunity to merge onto a safer freeway. So I'm delighted to answer more questions or go further with the discussion, but I believe it's our responsibility as a county. That's our northern boundary. We have so many neighborhood folks that are living out there, and it's not unreasonable to think that we can create a safety corridor. It's been done in many other areas, and certainly there's no reason that the state of Nevada couldn't support us along those lines. We've also reached out to some of our fellow or county folks and officials and have yet to find anyone that is negative on doing something positive along that safety corridor. So I ask you to please consider this resolution.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments about this?
Just a comment or two. You know, Austin shared with us a statistic from the Nevada Department of Transportation that shows that particular corridor accounts for their rate of accidents that happen out there. Crashes is well over double the average for rural interstates in the state. And so I think that given the history and that the other potential ways of addressing something like this are so far out, I think it makes sense for us to to look at other ways to get some action to address the immediate issues while those longer-term solutions are worked on as well. So I'm supportive. I think if I have a hesitation, the only hesitation I have is that I believe that we have a very limited number, and the number may be one bill draft request that can come directly from the county per session. And please correct me if I'm wrong, Austin. So while I am supportive, I want to make sure that we vet out and make sure that we don't have other compelling needs that there are not other ways to address if we're going to commit that bill draft request to this. Certainly, I know that we do have opportunities through other organizations that we're a part of to potentially have them introduce a bill for us if there was a need for that, and potentially through our elected officials who have multiple bill draft requests. But I just thought I would mention that as kind of a little hesitancy, that where I want to make sure that we have done our planning and made sure that we will not have another need for a request for action from the legislature.
All right. Thank you, Vice Chairman. Commissioner Gilman, I support this wholeheartedly. It's been an issue for as long as I've been around. I think it's just a matter of time before one of our own residents down in Lockwood gets injured. And so I think as far as I'm concerned, I would like to see this as the highest priority possible. So that's kind of where I'm at. Let's go to the public. Is there any public comment regarding this item? I don't see anybody. Come on up. You're the only one polite enough to raise your hand.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy District Attorney, thank you. My name is Chris Thompson, Project Manager for Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Here's why I think this proposed BDR ought to be the number one priority of Story County. is things have, you know, the county's been so patient over the years with NDOT. And admittedly, NDOT has done a great job on USA Parkway that is well kept, well maintained. They're doing a great job there. But by the same token, the vast majority of the traffic and the vast majority of the traffic issues go through this safety corridor, as Commissioner Gilman indicated. And here's the key part. What makes this year the most important is our rate of growth. Right now, there is 4 to 5 million square feet under roof in construction right now in the park. Between Redwood Materials and Nanotech Energy are 3,000 new jobs coming in on those two campuses alone. That's going to send our job count from 25,000 up to 30,000 in the foreseeable future. And we know from the Tesla reports that 80% of the workers in TRI live north of the I-80 in Reno and Sparks and go down this very corridor. The other thing I like about this BDR is it doesn't force the state to have to spend money or force the legislature to commit millions of dollars to this. This is simply regulation of traffic flow. Just like the lights that go on when you go on an on-ramp onto an interstate, that's all this BDR really asks for is better regulation of the traffic flow. So Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, we are all for this. We propose that if there is only one BDR allowed from the county, we believe this is the one, and right now is the time to do it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chris. Don Gilman for the record. I can't say anything that hasn't been said already that you've heard from Lance and Chris. However, I'd like to share a couple of observations. I drive that road every single day. The truck traffic is very, very dangerous. Lots of rocks being kicked up when they're in the left-hand lane going over the yellow line. Lots of debris, trash, other things. I personally replaced three windshields in my car in under 10,000 miles. The biggest concern for me is that I followed a fuel truck that came out of Sparks. He was doing 86 miles an hour. If there's an accident on the road around one of the blind corners before and after Mustang exit, it's going to be a massacre if one of these trucks can't stop in time, especially a fuel truck. And I feel like that's very, very, very dangerous. So more law enforcement on that corridor would be great. And I'd please ask you to consider this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Donnie. Is there any other public comment regarding this item? Please. Oh, he's. I'll go to Chief Longcar, and then we have Sam Toll.
Oh, yeah. Jeremy Longcar for the record. I just kind of want to clarify some things. We've talked a lot about the safety aspect of it, and as most of you know, we're coming upon agreement season again, which I'll have to bring him back in front of you. Story County Fire Protection does service that area in an automatic aid agreement. So we are dealing with those incidents on a regular basis, and I get that same feedback from my staff. And obviously, it's a burden on us as well. So from the fire district side of it, this is a very good thing moving forward. And if we can slow it down, reduce our accidents, obviously, we're getting my people off the road. And being on that highway is a dangerous place to be. So I fully endorse it, and also as a way to just possibly consider if there is some sort of conflict with BDRs. The Fire Protection District is an independent political organization, so that is also there at your disposal too, commissioners. Thank you.
Noted. Thank you. Sam Toll.
For the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. Lance, I applaud your efforts to address this issue as you've described. It's something that you've been trying to accomplish for probably a decade. Anyone who is in the Lockwood Rainbow Bend community has to deal with the video game players and the speed of entering the freeway. It's clearly a need that needs to be addressed. As a candidate for assembly here in District 40 for Story County, I will let you know that I will not only vigorously support this action, but would take it upon myself to address the concerns of Commissioner Mitchell and allow us the flexibility, if elected, to consume one of my BDRs as a method of addressing this without, and then therefore freeing up the county to use a BDR for anything else that may be appropriate. So, Mr. Gilman, I appreciate your quixotic efforts on this and encourage you to continue to do so. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, Sam.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. One thing I just want to add to this as well, I think enough has been said already, except really Story County and this proposal here is asking to be part of the conversation with the region. You notice in here that there's discussion about us communicating with mayors and county commissioners and city council people, as well as the NHP and NDOT and state officials. And so I think it's important as far as like what Laura talked about a little bit earlier, as far as our vision and mission for the county to start participating regionally, this is right on par with that. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. One last call for public comment on this item. Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
I can do that. Sorry, give me just a second to get back to the page. All right. Hi, Commissioner Mitchell. Move to approve resolution number 22-657, authorizing the county manager to engage a lobbyist or lobbyists to draft a bill for the 2023 legislative session regarding certain items related to traffic safety on Interstate 80 between Reno, Sparks, and Fernley.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Jay?
Yes.
Could we have a regular break?
Sure. Thank you to everybody who took the time to come and speak on this important matter. Before we get back to item number 11, we're going to go ahead and take a 10-minute recess. We will see you all back here right before 11:30.